So far, the first 2 weeks of Evangetics, that's what I'm calling it. Is that up there? Oh, yeah. Blending the Great Commission with a potent defense. First couple of weeks, we spent talking a bit about evangelism and apologetics and the relationship of the two, as well as the differences in the two, but how they go together. They go together. It's one thing to tell people the good news, and it's another thing to defend the hope that is in you, but they must go together when you're trying to share Christ, because you're going to run into it. And this has troubled me for years when I hear Christians just default to, well, the Bible says so. Well, you're going to go to hell if you don't. Those aren't answers that convince anybody of anything. And what we should be is a well spoken people, as Peter writes in his letter in 2 Peter 3:15, I think it is. Is that right, Ryan? Give a hope for the defense that is in you, and do it with gentleness and respect, I think are the two words. And someone looked that up. Wasn't in my notes, so I didn't have it right in front of me, but I know that's what it says there. Anyway, on that note, let me emphasize, it's so much more important to know what the Word of God says, not where. I've often said that because, what is it? 1 Peter 3:15, okay. As long as you can find it, but it's more important to know what God says. And there, Peter's writing to the church and says, be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you. That's where the word apologetics comes from. It's not an apology. I'll probably say this every week because I don't ever want people to get the idea that when I bring this up sometimes, people say, well, we don't have to apologize. No, we don't. And we don't apologize. We make no apology for God, for the wrath of God. We don't need to for the love of God and the grace of God, but the message saves people from the wrath to come. Last week we looked at several verses in the New Testament that specifically addresses evangelism, including a profound verse in 2 Corinthians 5:20, if you remember, which states that God is making his appeal through us. And I really, really like that. It's his appeal. God is trying to reach people. He wants to use you. Are you really a willing vessel? And that's really what it comes down to. Are we really willing to be God's mouthpiece? To be his instrument? Because that's what he's looking for. And he's not looking for pastors to do it. He's looking for pastors to lead the flock to do it. It's really important. God is making his appeal through us. Let's always remember that very important aspect of our faith. It is a gift of God, and it has a working power all its own.
Amen.
Yeah, you can agree. If you're following, you agree with that, let me know you agree. Okay? This is more of a study and a conversation. You can give feedback. It has power all by itself. All you have to do is deliver it. Let's use a simple analogy. I give you batteries. I don't make the power come out of them or make them run your device. They have a power all their own. I'm just giving them to you. When I give the gospel, it has power to work. I don't even have to look for the end. I don't need to stand there and wait for the light bulb to come on. I just deliver it and go. And as I've said before, I can see how God used this whole ministry in the hospital to help me see that. And because that's what I do. I deliver the gospel, deliver, deliver. I don't stand there and wait for the lights to come on. I know it's got power all by itself. It may work later that day, later that week, later in the year. But it has its power. God uses what we put out there. We're only needed to speak the truth, and God will take it from there. That's all you have to do is speak the truth. Do you know what happened to you? Do you know that hope that is in you? Can you recognize it enough to be able to tell somebody else what that is? Because that's what we're talking about here. That doesn't mean that we won't ever need to repeat the message to the same person. You don't just deliver it once. You may need to present it another time or another way. But we do not need ever to impose our beliefs on somebody else. That's what they think we're doing. But don't impose your beliefs on me. I'm just telling you some truths. I'm just sharing something with you. How easy is that to say? And it's true. We really are. And I guess if you don't really know that and understand that, you won't do it. You think you're imposing your... We fall victim to what the world says we're doing. You're imposing your beliefs. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you a truth that's been out there since Jesus came. And that's when it got out there. It got out at his resurrection. When he filled the first followers with the Holy Spirit, the truth left, and it's been moving ever since with a power all its own. I have so much to bring out about this, like I said before, but I want to be sure to manage it in such a way that will be most beneficial to everybody. So if we go back, we hear something a couple times, just making sure that we really understand it. This is not a, let's go through this book and you get it or you don't, and we can talk about it another time, and you'll hear the same study later. No. We really need to train each other to do this. And is that why you came?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to get well-versed in how to present this most important... It's truth. And all we're talking about is truth. And what's the very thing that Satan is eroding in the world today? Truth. Absolute truth. It's even a poll... A question or poll subject asking young people, the generation that's before us right now, do you believe in absolute truths? Or are they subjective? They're subjective to whatever I think.
They teach postmodernism in school today, which is there is no absolute truth.
Right. Truth is what works for you might not be what works for me. God's word is truth. We just sang that song, Your Word. It's truth. I heard an interesting analogy recently about a beach ball. You ever try to hold one underwater? It's going to come back up, isn't it? As soon as you let go. Well, the Word of God is that truth, and the water is the world. You cannot hold truth down forever. It's going to come up, and God's looking for you right now to bring that truth out. You know, we need to see ourselves that way. I am the chosen one, in a sense. Seriously, God has chosen me to bring his message out. He has given me a right to share this most valuable information, this treasure that was hidden in the field, that great pearl. He has allowed me to take that out and share it with people. That is a privilege. That's right. That's what the word says. So I want to go back to week one and ask this question. What is the gospel? See, we cannot present something that we don't clearly understand. So I didn't expect this many tonight. So I guess couples can have one. And I'm just going to walk around here and pass this out because I'm giving you a few minutes. Think, do you know what the gospel is? What is the God? How would you? Now, here's how I want you to answer that. Somebody comes to you, and they say, hey, look, I see you go to church. You prayed with me before. You say you're a Christian. You wear all those funny T-shirts. What is the gospel? And just like it says there, in a few words, give me one of those. Hand one down to Frank. You just made it. There you go. Has everybody got one that should? Oh, I'm sorry. Debbie Burnett too? Oh, okay. What is the gospel? Yeah, like it says, in a few words, treat this as if you were being asked by somebody wanting to know what you believe. What do you believe? What's the gospel? And don't worry about it, because if you don't know what to write, or you think your answer might be right, don't worry about it, because we got to start somewhere, right? We need to start with, I want you to do it right now, because I'm going to collect them and read them. Don't need your name on them or anything. Just want to float this. I want everyone to hear all the different thoughts and ideas about it. Because we won't be able to go any further if we don't know what we're defending. If we don't understand the message that we're trying to tell people. I shredded the tail off my dragon on that guitar. You already done? Okay. I'm just going to wait so I can get them all at one time. What is the gospel? You would think this would be pretty easy, because we hear it all the time. We hear all these messages, and then we get confronted with a simple question. It's like, well, do I know how to put that in a few words? Because that's how I imagined it. What if somebody said, hey, what is the gospel? Yeah. Do you not have a pen? Oh, that was my neck. Do you need a pen? I forgot, I grabbed a bunch of pens. These fancy faith community pens. Ooh. Does anyone need a pen? Everyone's going, I do. Well, you can come and get one later.
Anyway, my question is, when you say the gospel, are you talking about the whole Bible?
Well, we're going to talk about that. I want to know how you'd answer this. Your neighbor comes over and says, hey, Patty, I notice you go to church all the time on Sunday and stuff. And there's this thing about the gospel. What's the gospel? And you're standing at your door going, or do you go, oh, I'm ready to give you an answer. Okay. All right, hold them up if you're done. I'll grab them. Anybody else? I didn't get them? Yeah. I'll come over there. Thank you, brother. Did you do one, Kathy? Yeah? Oh, no. I need a microscope. Ryan wrote me. All right, let's see. Let's see what kind of things. The teachings of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, died for our sins, rose again so that we have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit guides us until the rapture. The good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay for our sin. An instruction manual from God to learn from Him. A way to get to know what God expects from you. The good news that God has provided a way for you to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, His Son. Love the living Word of God. Two parts. Sinful man is under the judgment of a righteous God, the Creator, the fall of creation, fall, sin, judgment. Two, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He took God's wrath, substitution. Everyone who believes in Him, His person, Son of God, Son of Man, His work, redemption, propitiation, has eternal life saved from the wrath to come. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, whom if you believe in Him, you will enter the kingdom of heaven, and how God created all things, including Adam and Eve. The Word of the Lord, the truth of everything, New Testament, Law, Old Testament. It is God coming down in the flesh, Jesus, to show how to live and love as He did to point of dying for us and being reconciled back to God. It's God's Word brought into our lives, the saving work of God. It's the good news that Jesus saves us from the wrath of God that's caused by sin. The Holy Word of God is the gospel. The payment for our sin. God's plan to pay the price for our sin. He planned it. He did it on the cross and rose again so we could live if we accept His call. The good news that God made a way through His Son Jesus Christ's crucifixion for us to be set free and made right and now have everlasting life through believing in Jesus' death and resurrection. Man and creation has fallen from God's grace due to man's sin and is doomed to spend eternity separated from God. Separated from God by sin. God sent His Son Jesus to live a sinless life, die and rise again in our place. He paid the penalty for our sin so we could be redeemed along with creation. The good news concerning Christ and the way of salvation. It is the good news of what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ, securing salvation from the wrath of God. Good news that Jesus saves us from sin. The good news of Jesus Christ. The truth presented by Jesus Christ, and good news that God created the whole universe, sent His Son Jesus to live, die, resurrected for our sins, and is coming back for the people to live with Him in heaven for eternity. All right, well, none of those are wrong. Everybody incorporated parts of the truth. What I wanted to see is, could you get the conversation started? Because if you can't get past that point, then you're not going to be able to say anything else. But if you presented one of those truths, then at least people will come back with something else. And that's what's really important. So I'm going to give you like the textbook side of this. The word gospel is defined literally as good news. That's why you've heard that. Some of you wrote that down. We can find it approximately 93 times in most Bible translations. It does differ, or it differs on the count by, is it the word evangelize, evangelism, different things like that. But over 90 times that word is found, and it's exclusive to the New Testament. Okay, it's all about Christ in that aspect. Okay, the Greek word is euangelion. That's where we get evangelism from. Euangelion, evangelist, evangelical—they're all derived from that Greek word. The gospel, in a very broad sense, and this is what Patty said, is the whole Word of God. From Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, you could say that is the gospel. That's where God reveals. And that's why we're doing this, because we need to know how do we begin? Where do we begin? And it even goes a little bit beyond that. In its narrow sense, it's the good news about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. The majority of you said that. It's the good news about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. What kind of questions might you get if you said that? It's the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation. What do you think some people will come back with? What's salvation? Throw some answers out there. What's salvation?
Saved from
what?
Yeah.
So, yeah, in the word salvation, it's like you save. What's salvation? You'll be saved. But see, this is what I talked about before. Is it saved from sin or from the consequence of sin? And it's the consequence. We're saved from the wrath of God. That's right. The world has a time limit. There's going to be a day where God stops and says, okay, now I'm judging. I didn't all this time. From the point of Christ's resurrection on, or maybe from Christ's birth on, God has been reconciling the world to himself. Prior to that, we see God's wrath randomly, right? He flooded the earth one time. He opened up a crack in the wilderness one time. You know, his wrath was seen. And at Christ, he began to reconcile the world to himself. But there's a day where he says, "Not that's it. The door's closed. And the wrath of God will be delivered unless you're saved." And that's what salvation is, right? So you can see how one thing starts to open up the next thing. Okay, saved from the wrath of God. Why was God going to destroy us? What did we do so wrong? Yeah.
Would you basically say saved from damnation?
Yeah, but see, that's a Bible word.
Right.
And those are kind of the words that I get like, I try not to use myself because just say it like you and I talk.
Oh, okay. It's neat and simple.
God's wrath. He's mad. What's he so mad about? If you ever think I oversimplify, just say so, because I do simplify it sometimes. I'll say those exact things. God's very, very mad. About what? About sin. He's a holy and righteous God. So what you can see is how one builds off the other. Save us from what? Save us from the wrath to come. Why is wrath coming? Because the whole world is in sin. You see it all around you, don't you? You see what happened last week here. You see what's going on over in Europe. You see that sin is manifesting itself. And there's going to be a day where God does stop it. Why doesn't he stop it now? Because we're in a state of grace, an age of grace. God is reaching out to those to believe in him. He will put an end to it. But right now, sin is manifesting itself. So, the Wycliffe Bible Encyclopedia summarized. I should have put this on the screen. And if you want it, I could give it to you if you want it. The Wycliffe Bible Encyclopedia summarizes the gospel message this way. It's the central truth of the gospel is that God has provided a way of salvation for men through the gift of his Son to the world. He suffered as a sacrifice for sin, overcame death, and now offers a share in his triumph to all who will accept it. Now, I really like that because Christ overcame death. He is victorious over it. And God offers us to share in that if we accept it and believe him. That's much more inviting, isn't it? It's not that we're escaping wrath, but that we get to share in the victory that's already been won. Let me finish reading this. The gospel is good news because it is a gift of God, not something that must be earned by penance or by self-improvement. And that's really important, because that's going to be what you run into when you evangelize. I'm a good person, or I'll stop doing this then. It's not how it works. The good news is it's free. Yes. All right, don't confuse things. What do you mean God's been in wrath? the chaos that we see is the result of sin. The wrath of God's coming. If you read the book of Revelation, the wrath is going to come. There's going to be an end to it. God's going to put it down and end it. He's going to destroy it. Well, that's what I mean, where we see the active wrath of God. Today, what we really see is kind of the passive. This is what happens when you do things that aren't right. You should expect it. What happens if you smoke two packs a day for 40, 50 years? Right, you know that something bad. You're not going to run a marathon at 90. No, we're not. Tonight's not the only night.
They'll just think
That's right. That's right.
It's been going on for, even the last 200 years.
And are you that old? Are you that old?
I am.
No, come on.
But
well, the point isn't that in every generation there has been stuff. I'm not saying to look what happened today because of what... No, this has been going on. That's right. That's absolutely right. But we only know what's going on today.
It's just getting worse.
Right. It's manifesting itself. Right.
I just can't talk about it.
I remember in the 70s or 80s, who remembers the Manson murders? Oh, my goodness. They killed how many? Three people? Woo, Now there's 19, 20 in one time, and we're like, wow. We're not moved by how bad it is, So, no, I'm not saying current events are an example. It's just easy to use. Look what you see.
I'm just saying, if that's all they hear are current events.
Well, who's talking current events? Where'd you go off?
What?
Are you all hearing the same thing?
I don't understand.
Okay. I'm not sure. We're not talking about current events.
No, you just did. You pointed out you're talking to somebody and you're saying, well, look what happened last week and now this week. And you have to go back further than that. I mean, it just...
Well, you were going to. We started the other week in the Garden of Eden. Cain kills his brother. It's always going on. No, this isn't about tell them current events and get them. That doesn't work either. That's not going to work, as a matter of fact. Don't do that.
I'm not saying go back to the Old Testament. I'm just saying to show how things are progressively getting worse.
But that's not even the message. That's not the point. Sin is manifesting itself. It always has. Dan, you had your hand up for a long time.
Well, the chaos that we see in the world today is consequences of sin.
Right.
God hasn't revealed his wrath yet.
Right.
But as we go further, let me put it this way, as we get closer to him sharing that wrath, conditions on earth are going to get worse and worse and worse.
Right, the Bible says the hearts of men will grow cold.
Right.
They'll become lovers of themselves. Okay.
Him judging them.
Well, I've explored.
I know. And that's my point.
But I've explored that. I've explored that with people, in that, again, that conversational evangelism apologetics, what do you think he should do?
Yeah.
We should put a stop to it. Put a stop to the sin? Yeah.
And how?
Well, no, where does he stop? Where does he stop? What about your sin? Should he destroy you as well? Because the result would be we'd all be destroyed.
That's right.
There'd be no end. He's holy and perfect. So let's start with, the horrible stuff. And what about these ones? Yeah, them too. How about these ones? Yeah, those too. And then the robbers? Well, not if they stole to feed their family. Then we start qualifying it, And you get people, see, and this is what I mean, engage them to where they're like, okay, that does make sense. Yeah, it does make sense. But again, we're gonna hopefully grow in this and learn how to address those kind of questions and oppositions. Somebody else's hand floating around back there? Okay. So that was the Wycliffe Bible Encyclopedia definition. You can find others. I read so many of these because I wanted to see what do the theologians have to say? What are the learned people? Because it is hard. You read it all, you go, how do I say this in one thing? And the gist of it is that God, not wanting to destroy the world, sent his only son. You know, when we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, it wasn't that he loved us so much. It's he loved us in this way that he sent his own son. Because he couldn't find anybody on earth to do it. So he sent his own son to be a sacrifice. He was looking for a sinless person. Do you think God could have found a sinless person on the earth?
No.
Right. And when you ask anybody that, they kind of go, probably not. Probably not. Yeah. So he sent his own son. That's how much he loved us. Can you believe that? And his son lived a sinless life before us, proving who he was by many miracles that are documented, being put to death because of it. But then the power of God showing who he was, resurrecting him back to life. We're going to get into that. What evidence is there that Christ was resurrected? There's an empty tomb.
Yes.
That's the short answer of that. And no one could deny that, because on both sides of it, they agree the tomb was empty. Some say he was resurrected. Some say they stole the body. But nobody says he was in there.
Right.
And that's always a good point to make. Nobody goes, well, he was still in there. No, he wasn't. So you either have to say, well, I don't want to believe God. I think something else happened. Or he must have risen from the dead. Because this is what we're going to go and do next. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the earliest Christian confession of what the gospel is. We look for these things. What did they say back then? What did the Apostle Paul say regarding the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15.
Chapter 15.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You know, in the New Testament, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians are a lot of content. Paul talks about a lot of things. I really like Corinthians.
I was going to say, one of the apostles, John, we talked about over when he got raised from the dead, when he came from.
Well, you're going to.
500 people saw him.
That's right here.
Okay.
See, that's exactly. That's right here. This is the earliest Christian confession. This is what Paul was saying everywhere he went. If you're here to study the book of Acts, with all those places Paul went, you can bet this is what he said. He didn't just write it one time to this church. He was writing them letter back. Don't forget. Okay, so it's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 8. Now, I would remind you, brother. See, I remind you because why? Because I told you this when I was there. Of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Man, I could talk about that for about 10, 15 minutes. There's a whole lot of content in there. But he goes, he identifies what? This is the gospel, remember? Verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Now, first importance doesn't mean in the order. It's not the first thing. It's this must be understood first. This, of all things, first you need to know what he received, that Christ died for our sins. Most of you wrote that on your paper. That's right. Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures. Because the Old Testament prophesied that Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, would save Israel. Of course, at that time, it was in their context. It was their God. Their Messiah would save them from their sins. God did reveal in Isaiah, though, that this wasn't going to stay with just his people, but it was going to go out to all the nations. They kind of missed that, and that's part of their sin, right? They didn't want to share it. They didn't run around saying, hey, our Messiah is going to save you. They're like, just don't tell them that part. But listen, we laugh and giggle about that, but that goes on in church right now today. Those sinners out there are bad people. They need to be saved. We don't kick them out. We don't leave them out. Let's not reach them. We don't want to go to the gangs because they're bad people. We don't want to go into jail because they already committed crimes. We do. We want to reach everybody. We need to put blinders on and bring the gospel to every ear, wherever God sends us. And he has sent me into some of those very places. So he says that he died. So here's one. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Notice that repetitive in accordance with the scriptures. He wants to make sure he understands, we didn't just make this up. It was written beforehand, it happened, and I'm telling you about it. This is how God works. God is a God of completion, right? He finishes what he starts. And he says, according to scripture. Now here you go, Frank. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. I remember one time this was being taught or preached somewhere, and somebody goes, some of those people are still alive? At the time Paul wrote this, they were.
Second line.
Which is, if any of you know this, 1 Corinthians was written somewhere, I'm going to guess, in the 60 AD to 65, 67 maybe. Well, about 30 years after Christ, so 30, 35 years. So some of those people were still alive. And that's what Paul was saying. He goes, people that saw him are still walking around talking about it. And that's really what he's saying. You know, because you've heard those people. Could you imagine being part of those people? He's that guy at the party, the dinner party. Yeah, I saw Christ. You did. You're one of them that saw him. Yeah, yeah. He came back all right. Saw the nail holes and everything. So this went on, as Paul points out. Some are still alive that saw this. It wasn't just like a couple people and they're lying to you. You can go find them. 500 is a lot. They all went and told their families. Their families love them, believe them, know they wouldn't lie, and they also started telling their friends. My husband, wife, brother, sister, they saw him too. So immediately it started to exponentially increase. Who saw him? So Paul points out, he goes, you know that. So what are the three points? That he died for our sins, he was put into a grave, and he got out of that grave. That's the gospel right there. He died for our sins. See, and that's going to open up some of the apologetic questions. Well, why? Well, nobody else could. Well, why would he have to die? God required a sacrifice. Now, anytime somebody starts to get into the corner of, but why, like a two-year-old, but why would God require a sacrifice? How do you answer something like that? I don't know either. Let's close in prayer. No, I'm just kidding. Because that's God's program. This is what God revealed to us. This is what God showed us, that sin had to be paid for. There had to be a price, a redemption. Redemption means that you were purchased, that there was a purchase made. So there had to be something given for that. And that's where, you know, the precursor, so to speak, of a sacrifice. Somebody mentioned that earlier. They had to sacrifice animals back then. Well, their blood couldn't suffice forever. It was only good for till the next sacrifice. And that's why God required it. But God was showing us that the blood did satisfy the price for sin. What are the wages of sin? Right. And that's what the blood was those wages. He paid for your salvation.
Wasn't the sacrifice at the time the best you had?
Yes. Required to be without blemish, the first one, the first fruits, the young. Again, you can find, you know, and these are good little studies. What exactly was that? Where is that? It's probably in Deuteronomy. Anybody? I talk to you guys like we're all scholars. Oh yeah, it's Deuteronomy 12, Pastor Mike. As I said from the beginning, people do want to know what's up with God and Jesus and the Bible. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking they don't want to know. We're not imposing our beliefs on them. They want to know these things, but they don't want to know it from just anybody. They don't want to just know it from anybody. You know, here's the danger nowadays. Oh, if I want to know about God, I'll just... What about God? It says here, there isn't one. It says here, Jesus was married. Man, I'm telling you, this thing is putting out so much information, it makes me sick. I ran into that one recently. Yeah, whatever, Jesus was married and had kids, you know. You guys, I'm like, what? Oh yeah, the Da Vinci Code. That's where that came from. The Gospel of Judas. You ever heard of that? Yeah, better you don't. This is what Satan's doing to counter truth. He's trying to hold that beach ball down. That stuff doesn't hold any water at all. But people do want to know the truth about that stuff. And if you seem like a stable, logical, church-going Christian, you're going to find that people that will at least be curious as to what it is that you believe and what you know about it. And they'll ask you. Because, again, you're stable and logical. You seem like a normal person, and yet every Sunday, there you go, to church. Am I missing something? Well, yeah. And boom, there's your opportunity. Not to go, yeah, you sure? Are you going to hell? Well, here.
That's wrong.
But that's where all this comes from is, we need to be a church that's stable and logical and can explain it. And people go, well, thank you for taking the time. That makes more sense than anything I've ever heard. You know, I told you guys about the 40-year-old biker guy that was mad because when he was 8, that's what happened to him. And he's still holding on to that until I came along and logically stable answered his questions, presented him with some things he never heard and went, oh, it just makes more sense than anything now. Like I said, I didn't get to see the light bulb go on, but I delivered the power. I'm sure God knows what to do with it, right? They want to know, why do you believe that? You're a retired salesman, you know. You're a retired machinist, teachers, and sorry, I don't know all your jobs. But why do you believe that? It seems kind of odd that you would believe that. The rest of us don't. Because you're showing them something. So there's your opportunity to give them that plain, stable, logical explanation. When we want to know the outcome of something, we say, so what's the deal? And we often get met with that two-part question. What do you want first? The right? You want the good news or the bad news? So to better understand what the good news is, the gospel, we do have to first understand and be able to present the bad news. And see, that's where sin comes in. That's why we have to go back to creation. That's why we went back to the garden with Adam and Eve. The bad news is we all got born in this really bad situation. And as I said before, you sin because you're a sinner. We don't get called a sinner because we've committed sins. No, we do the sins because we were born sinners. And that's much easier for people to go, oh, well, why? Well, that's the whole Adam and Eve story. You've probably heard that. That's not just a story. God was showing us that we would be disobedient. There's the quick answer on that, and I guess we'll cover that 1 week. The quick answer on what happened there is disobedience. God says do this, and we go, no. And that's all they did. So we can see, and you can clearly see, you probably would have done that too. I know I would have. If God put me in there, I'd be like, see what? Especially if someone else comes along and says, oh, that's going to make you super smart. I'd be like, what am I waiting for? Standing around here like a kangaroo. So, but we have to be able to understand what the bad news is. And then explain that to people in the most simplest terms so they go, okay. So now I can talk to you about the good news, you see? And this is where now next week I'm going to bring in the apologetic side of that, because what are they going to say? Well, I don't believe in God. Now my whole story doesn't even have nothing to stand on, does it? I don't believe in God. So we're going to look at next week at creation. Simple. And if you present that properly, people kind of go, that does make a lot of sense. Because right now they're Googling, all they believe is Big Bang. And I was talking to Ryan, I think, about this. You know, this. I watched the video last night about the metaverse. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the metaverse. There's not just one universe. There's a bunches of them. Multiverse. Metaverse is a Facebook, I think. No, that's... Anyway, these terms, science is getting deeper and deeper into space, and they're like, ugh, looks like there's more. And so maybe it's not just one universe. Maybe that's like this huge bubble, and there's bunches of those now. Well, so were there multiple Big Bangs? This was my question, which they never talked about in this video. The funniest thing I ended on this in that video was this well-known, respected scientist in 1888... quote unquote, we're probably nearing the end of what we can know about the universe.
Uh-huh. Well known.
And I say that because we need to not be the same way with God and think, well, we pretty much know all there is to know about God. No, we don't. We need to ask Him for wisdom. He says, ask for it. I give it liberally. I'll open your mind up to the truths. You'll know these things. They'll be part of you and you'll be able to share them with other people. That's what I made you to do. You're made in my image. You're filled with my spirit. You can't lose.
Amen.
All right. Any questions or comments, I hope? Yes, Chuck. That's right. Thank
you.
So thank you for being transparent. Right. We make mistakes. We all will. But better that you improve on it. And that's exactly right. There's a time for that. There's a time to go, well, that's a cult. Let me explain why. But not off out of the gate. You know, it's best to go, oh, you know, if anything, it's a springboard. Oh, so one of your friends is a believer. You know, is he out of his mind? Is he normal? No, he's pretty normal. Okay, well, you know, leave it alone. Build on it. There's a time to be able to come back. But, you know, people are going to believe what they want to believe. But, you know, that's very, very, you learned from it, didn't you?
He's open, though. Last night I was on the phone for an hour and a half.
You're just like me. Chuck, you're growing. Questions, comments, we'll wrap it up. Really? Interesting? Get anything? Okay. Okay. So I'm going to try to stick to myself, and we're going to go into a step, not back, but we need to be able to explain God, because atheism is the fastest growing thing. Can't even call it a religion, but when Barna Research does a poll, that's in there. And it used to be, you know, 3% of the population don't believe. 8% of the population. It's something like 20, 30% now. And it's most of it's in the youngest generation. When they get down, because they divide it up, they'll go in the group of 18 to 24, 24 to 30, you know, and they break up the groups. And you see, the people in their 50s and 60s are still 3, 4%. But the lower it gets, the young people, no God. Don't need them, don't care, not going to listen. And that's where we need to, they've never even heard. That's where we need to be really logical and stable and go, hey, you've been misinformed. I remember telling a bunch of youths that one time, you're being lied to right now. And they're like, what? Kids love that one.
Yeah.
They're lying to us? They are lying. Yep. Okay. Lord, thank you for being with us tonight. We know you were, we know you are, and we just thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us to be able to see things clearly, that we would be stable, logical, and above all, faithful to you. We love you. We love your word. We want to be able to present Jesus Christ with respect, compassion, and yes, passion. So help us to digest the things we've heard tonight. On our own, Lord, lead us into things to read that may help in this subject. Let us come together, learning from one another, and growing and becoming well-equipped to be truly called ambassadors for Jesus Christ, for that is what you've made us. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. We love you. Help us to love you more and to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.